segment of the Blog Authentic podcast. It has been a little while. We have been very busy working on the spring rush that comes within marketing and influencer marketing and all the brands. It's like they come alive in spring, which has been wonderful. But we're really excited to be back with the next podcast episode. Claire, you there?
I am here. Welcome, everybody. I'm delighted to record another episode.
And we are super excited about the guest today. Today we have Alexis Tretchmiller. Did I say that right, Alexis?
It's Teichmiller.
Teichmiller.
It's very wrong. German.
Completely wrong. I apologize on that. Who is from one of our favorite platforms, ConvertKit, which 90% of the people who are listening to this are also on our mailing list. So they are actually the provider that is helping us deal with our emails and deliver content directly to your inbox in a beautiful, wonderful manner. And also you do podcasting too, and you're a blogger, and you're just like this super content awesome creator, Alexis. So do you want to kind of tell us a little bit about yourself in general and what you do and how you ended up at ConvertKit, and give us a bigger kind of explanation of what ConvertKit does?
Yeah, I would love to. So welcome. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. I'm excited to kind of dive in and share a little bit of my journey and also the journey of ConvertKit and how I hope that maybe those two journeys can combine with your journey. So again, yes, thank you for the introduction. My name is Alexis Teichmiller, and I'm actually the affiliate manager at ConvertKit. And what ConvertKit is it is an email software provider for professional bloggers. And yes, for any of you guys thinking, what is a blogger? Am I a blogger? There's a lot of actually conversation around people who don't identify themselves as bloggers. It's very interesting. But if you are consistently creating content on Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, whether you have a website or not, or you're a podcaster, now in 2017, you are considered a blogger. Any type of content creation is actually a blog. So I wanted to clear that up a little bit. And so that's kind of why we named ourselves the platform for professional bloggers. And that would be because we focus on helping people build audiences online through email marketing. And a big reason why we focus on that is because, hey, none of us own our audiences on social media. Whether you're building an audience on Instagram or YouTube, as much as those numbers matter when it comes to, you know, getting brand partnerships and things like that, but when it comes to building a business that's sustainable that you 100% own, it's very difficult to own your audience on a platform that you don't control, like Instagram. They just changed their algorithm a couple weeks ago again. And so as that algorithm continues to change, people are seeing your content less and less. And that's why it's more important now than ever to build an email list, because it's something that you actually own. You own those email addresses. People are giving you permission to get in contact with them. And that is, again, something that you own and that you control. And we always like to say that social media is rented real estate, whereas an email list is something that you own and you invest time and energy into building.
I love that, rented real estate. I love that. So you say, so you guys, is this kind of a thing when you're just saying everybody is a blogger? Is that something that you're doing company-wide, or is this something that you're seeing happening, like a trend to the title in the U.S. in general? Because in the U.K., we're calling them influencers, if you, no matter what platform you're on. So is this a company-wide thing or a country-wide thing?
I've actually seen it become more of a country-wide kind of ideology. I was actually at Social Media Marketing World, which is one of the largest social media summits in the U.S., out in San Diego. It's put on by a company called Social Media Examiner, and they're kind of one of the top peaks of social media, blogging, influencer space of how to actually build and cultivate a community online using social media. And so one of the sessions I went to was, is blogging dead? Like, what is blogging? And we had a really interesting discussion on blogging is really just content creation. So whether you're an influencer or you're writing, you know, every week on your blog, or you're releasing a weekly podcast, in the eyes of at least a lot of, I guess, US-based companies, that would be considered a blogger, or in the UK, you know, that would be considered an influencer.
I don't think a blogger themselves or a content creator or an Instagrammer would actually call themselves an influencer. That's my view. I think that's more of an industry term for, you know, influential bloggers.
Always just labeling me the evil marketer, Claire. Always.
I mean, it's helpful. It's helpful. It's a helpful term for everybody to understand in marketing terms, you know, what bloggers value to, you know, stress the influence that they have. But for the bloggers themselves, there's still, you know, there's still a lot of authentic passion there. And, you know, they would consider themselves something completely different.
Yeah, I agree. I see, that's actually an interesting point, Claire. And I really don't like the word influencer. I myself, as Kirby, you mentioned, I am a blogger and a podcaster and a content creator on the side, alongside my full-time job at ConvertKit. And actually having that inside kind of experience of being a blogger and a podcaster and a content creator, it helps me in my day job. You know, it helps me connect with our audience again, I'm the affiliate manager here, so it allows me to really connect with fellow affiliate marketers and things like that. Something I've noticed is when people label themselves as I am an influencer, it makes me question their influence. Because if you have to label yourself as an influencer to a brand to pay attention to you, your work should speak for itself. So that's something that I've seen too fluctuate. People were really calling themselves influencers here in the U.S. for a while, and then it almost became a little bit conceited or egotistical of like, I'm an influencer. And so I feel like, yes, that's an industry term, but I still would I wish that the blogging space would focus more on, hey, I produce authentic content for a real audience, and yes, I have influence, but that doesn't necessarily mean that I'm gonna cash in on my influence anytime I get an email offer.
I think people are even moving away from content creation into storytelling. And we thought storytelling, I mean, that started to become a little bit of a thing, didn't it? It was a trend. It seems to be dying down a little bit. But essentially, I like the term storytelling because it encompasses all platforms, all types of content creation. Because essentially that's what people are doing.
Yeah, one of the bloggers that we just had on, Sally, her actual title with her company, and she has a full-time day job, and then she has a side hustle of her blog also, and she is the head storyteller for a brand, which is really interesting.
It might be helpful for some of our listeners, Alexis, is to take us through some typical examples of how bloggers are leveraging ConvertKit for their own blogs and how they're using it.
Yeah, absolutely. So what I love about the whole blogging space is there's so many different topics and things to blog about. So we have fashion bloggers using ConvertKit. We have New York Times bestselling authors using ConvertKit. We have someone who started a succulent business selling succulents and like the little beautiful plants. We have someone that's selling succulents using ConvertKit. So it has a very wide variety of people. But what I love about the woman that sells succulents using ConvertKit is she uses email to connect and tell stories about succulents with her audience. That's how she sells them. So again, like I totally agree with you, Claire, really bringing in that storytelling aspect is a crucial part of using email marketing to its fullest capability. So a few different examples would be if you are wanting to sell really anything online, it's very difficult to sell from a third party like Instagram. So a really popular thing in the lifestyle blogging space would be reward style or like to know it, which is essentially affiliate marketing. So someone likes a photo on Instagram and they're signed up for like to know it. As soon as they like that photo, they're actually going to get an email in their inbox with all the products that are listed in that photo. So yes, that works on Instagram, but again, you're not owning that audience. So what we've seen a lot of people do is they'll use affiliate links inside of email to naturally sell products that way as well. But another one is information products, like informational ebooks, online courses, webinars, checklists, worksheets, training, coaching, like all of those types of spaces too, really fit well with email marketing because you're able to create content and sell it through email. So let me give you like a very specific example. Okay, let's say I'm a life coach, but I also share a lot of my life through my blog. So I'm a certified life coach, and let's say I want to create a course on how to create better boundaries with my relationships with people in my life and also online. So that's gonna be my course. That's like end of the road. I want to create this course and sell it for like $200. Well, in order to even get and build an audience, I would need to give a fraction of that topic away for free. And this is what we call an opt-in incentive. And this is how people are actually building email lists. Is this something I always say is give away the what and charge for the how. So if you are wanting to sell or make any type of money online or be a service to your audience, you'd want to give away something that's going to solve like a little bit of their problem. So for that boundaries, maybe you're going to give away a free, you know, 15-page ebook on the idea of setting boundaries. And then as soon as they read that book, it would then lead into actually selling that course on how to create, you know, better boundaries in life and business and social media. So that's something that we've seen as a really very basic business model now. It's not even like uncommon anymore. Okay, yes, I'm going to give away something for free and it's going to lead into a funnel, and then that funnel is going to lead that subscriber or potential customer to in turn buy a product.
What if a blogger, this is a bit of a, I mean, let's say hypothetically some of our listeners will go, I have absolutely no idea how I can leverage my wonderful audience into an email offering or even offer something for free or sell it. If they don't know where to start, I mean, they're very niche bloggers, but some people might not think in those terms that they actually have something that people will be interested in. I mean, do you have any tips for where they could sort of get started and try and find that?
Of course, yeah. So something I always like to say is, one, keep it very simple. So it doesn't have to be very complex, very complicated. People in today's world don't have a lot of time to sit down and read a 50-page ebook. So if there's a way that you can simplify your content that is very easy for your audience to actually go through, I think that's a big one too. Also, I would say start with, what are people asking you? Like, Claire, what are some of the biggest questions that you get right now in life that pertain to your audience?
Me?
Yeah, like I'm just going to hot seat you right now. I'm putting you in a hot seat. Like, what are some of the main questions that you get asked, you know, from your audience about your blog or about your specific topic?
I mean, we get asked about influencers, don't we? I mean, people still, you know, are trying to understand how blogging works, what it can do for them. And we get questions from bloggers, we get questions from businesses. So that's the, you know, the bloggers want to know, you know, how they can sort of get started, get growing. And the businesses want to know how they can work and collaborate with bloggers. Those are the common questions. Would you say that, Kirby?
Yeah, and I mean, that really is what led up to our certification
program
that we have. And it is, I mean, everything comes down to it at the end of the day, because we are, you know, an agency that deals with business is money, how to get them paid. They want to know, how do I get hired? How do I do good work? What is good work? What is good reporting? Just because someone is great at creating content doesn't mean that they're great at doing business. So I think that's kind of where our funnel and the knowledge sharing that has come in. And that's why we completely just went gaga over ConvertKit when we came across it.
Yeah.
Our life's easier. And it streamlined all of those processes. And it just, yeah, it changed everything for us.
This podcast is really dangerous because I've already had about 10 ideas based on what Alexis has just been telling us as well, and her challenging us back, actually. So we're going to have some work to do after this.
Well, I love that. And so those two things that you just said, okay, so the blog, you have two different audiences. And this is actually very common in blogging, is you don't always have one specific audience. You might have an umbrella or an overarching audience that's segmented into different sections. So for you, you have the businesses coming to you and asking for advice on how to partner with these influencers. And then you have the influencers themselves wondering, how do I make money? How do I build a business? What does this even mean? Teach me. And so again, if you can frame a lot of your content in an educational type of background of, okay, I'm going to teach you how to do this thing. That's a great place to start. So a good opt-in incentive, and an incentive is really just something that pops up on your website. And I'm sure everybody's probably seen this on a blog. Hopefully, if people are doing email marketing right, you at least have an opt-in incentive that's going to pop up on your website that's going to say, hey, put in your email address to sign up for my newsletter. Well, newsletters don't really... that term doesn't work. It doesn't incentivize people to actually sign up anymore. I mean, no, I'm not just going to feel generous and give you my email, because that's my personal inbox that I guard. So who I give my email to, I'm trusting that they're going to value how they communicate with me. So an opt-in incentive is, I'm going to give you my email address for, in turn, a piece of value. So for your specific example would be, I'm going to give you my email address because you're going to teach me the 5 steps of how to start a blog, or the 5 steps to understanding influencer marketing. You can do that really easily with an email course. Email courses have high perceived value over a one-time download like an ebook. So if you were to have an opt-in form connected to an autoresponder sequence, and again, if I'm speaking like in tongues to y'all, please stop me, and I can definitely explain.
No, you are not speaking tongues. I might, you know, don't get me start going with the y'alls, because it won't stop. But no, we as an agency, our listeners receive our sequences. They are involved in that. But I do think there is value into you explaining how someone, let's say like the startup lifestyle blogger, or, you know, let's get really into the niche. Our strong niche as a company is mom bloggers.
Okay.
So how can that like lifestyle mom blogger, how can they just take that first step to get rolling, even if they don't know exactly what that product is that they're going to be selling just yet, or they want to kind of put the feelers out there to their mailing list. Mm-hmm. What kind of advice can you give them?
Yeah, great, great question. So again, I think ask yourself, what is my audience asking me most about? That's you. Those are your topics. That is their pain points. Okay. So if you're a mom, lifestyle blogger, and you have your audience consistently asking you, let's say, hey, what are some products that make your life easier? Like, hey, I'm short on time. I'm stretched thin. What are some things in your life that you can't live without? Okay, great. That's an opt-in incentive. So you could create an email sequence linked to products from Amazon. So you could be making affiliate income every time somebody clicks that product to buy it. You could say, these are the 5 products I literally cannot live without as a mom. I mean, it could be that simple. So I think sometimes we try to take email marketing and just marketing in general, and we get very intimidated by it, and we try to make it very complex. It always comes back to the audience. What are they asking you? How can you serve them most? And what are their pain points, and how can you help solve them? So whether that be, what are products you can't live without, or what are some ways that you save time, you know, scheduling out different activities with your kids. Okay, well, maybe an opt-in incentive is you create a specific templated calendar for your audience to fill out. Like, you can really get very... It can become very simple when you just ask the question to your audience, what do you need most, or how can I best serve you? I think when you can do that and you actually listen, you're creating something for people that actually asked for it, versus you thinking to yourself, what could I create? What could I create? And no one's asked for it, but you create it anyways, and then it doesn't sell, or no one opts in. And it's because your audience didn't ask for it.
That's great. Now, how long exactly? So I want to get into like the juicy, juicy story, because we obviously, like, we came to you for this podcast because we just love the platform. And this is, you know, this is before affiliate or anything. I mean, when I introduced the platform to Claire, she went down the I'm blowing up your spot right now, Claire.
24 hours later, I signed up and I went, oh my God.
48 hours later, I saw her again. Which for us moms is late, by the way. You know, we're usually in bed by 9 o'clock. You know,
right.
I don't know, Alexis, I think you're a little bit more of a spring chicken than we are these days. But yeah, so I want to know kind of like the juicy side. So how long has ConvertKit been around? What's kind of the story behind it? And also, what kind of trends have you observed in, you know, in the past kind of few years, specifically in the U.S., that I'm just interested in the trends.
So how ConvertKit got started. So ConvertKit is just a little over 3 years old. So in the email service provider space, we're pretty young. We are still a spring chicken, as you'd like to say, Kirby. But at the same time, we have over 14,000 customers, which is amazing. We grew very, very, very quickly because our CEO is incredible. His name is Nathan Barry, and he's a great blogger to emulate after and really, you know, study what he did. But what he was doing is Nathan is a blogger and a course creator and an author. And he was using MailChimp and Infusionsoft to try to piecemeal together something that could work to sell his products online. And he was so frustrated. And Nathan's a software engineer, too. I guess this is a pretty important part of the story. And he was so frustrated by the lack of complexity and the lack of segmenting and just the overall clunkiness of MailChimp. But he was also frustrated with how complex and complicated Infusionsoft was that he decided, I'm going to build something myself. I'm just going to build my own tool. I'm going to build my own email marketing software platforms that I can use for my products. That's going to be simple, but it's going to give me the complexity I need to sell products in a very automated way. And so that's how ConvertKit was really born. And now we're a team of 22 people from all over the country. All over the world. We're a virtual team too, which is really interesting. We're 100% virtual. So, you know, we use Zoom and like video conferencing calls every day to talk. And it's actually one of the coolest experiences I've ever had being a part of such a progressive company that really cares about helping its customers earn a living online. And that is our goal. Our goal is to help bloggers earn a living online. It's nothing else. It's not to grow, you know, massively. It's not to...
Ooh, that sounds familiar.
Our focus is just to help people earn a living.
That is our mission statement also.
To
help bloggers make a full-time income off, not only make a living, but make a full-time living wage income off
that's
of
awesome.
Their, what they create. I guess that's why the synergy is there.
Oh yeah, girl.
So what are some trends that you've observed in the past few years with the platform? Because you guys get kind of a view into the juicy stuff. You guys get to see the data and the engagement. Not everybody, you know, from the outside looking in onto content creators' careers get to see those snapshots. So what are some trends that you guys have observed in the past little while?
Yeah, so a great one, and it's a good one to start off with, is there's one specific example and a piece of data that I want to share with you guys. We actually put together a State of the Blogging Industry report. So we actually surveyed a lot of our customers and just people from all over the world on, you know, the size of their blog, how they were earning an income, you know, what tools they were using, like what is the state of the blogging industry? And what we found was that bloggers who use email marketing actually earn 447% more revenue than those who don't. So I'll repeat that. Bloggers who use email marketing earn 447% more revenue than those who don't, which is insane. So obviously a huge trend is email marketing itself and building a list and really getting very specific on who you're serving, how you're serving, and then how you're communicating with them. And a big myth that I want to squash for any of you guys who are just getting started building an email list: you do not have to have a massive list to earn a living from that list. I mean, I think that's a really big intimidation factor, is people think, oh, I have to have a list of 10,000 email subscribers to make, you know, or have a successful product launch or to make a living. And that's not true. I actually kind of want to throw out an example. There's a man named John Meese, and he actually built an email list of just 250 people. And he was actually able to do a $10,000 launch, product launch, of a list of only 250 people.
Wow.
Because he built that list very targeted. He was very specific on his offering. What he did, he actually built a course on how to actually use a specific WordPress template. Now, talk about a niche. Like, his whole product was how to use this one specific WordPress template. So he built that very targeted list of 250 people, and then he was able to have a really successful launch because he was so specific on who he was attracting. And I think that's important, too, of seeing a big trend in people moving away from this urge of, I have to grow and grow and grow and have the biggest list ever, to, I want to create a list of buyers, not a list of just subscribers. And so how can you get really specific on the offer, that incentive offer, or your messaging to them? That's very important. So I'm seeing a big trend of, hey, let's not build, you know, a list of 100,000 people that, you know, a large percentage of them are just subscribers. Let's build a very engaged, healthy list of potential buyers or of buyers.
You know what? I want to get myself a cowbell. This is going to happen, Claire. It's going to happen. I'm going to edit it in to this episode right now. Because any time that somebody says the magic word on this podcast, that cowbell is going to start ringing like crazy. And it's just,
what's the magic word?
People. I'm just going to scare them from here on out. So there's going to be a big ding, ding, ding that gets edited in right here, right now.
What's the magic word?
The magic word is engagement.
Engagement.
And this is one of the conversations that we are having all the time, multiple times a day. And I think this is the big kind of, this is the hot topic in the industries that we are in right now, is that quality over quantity is not, it's not just trending, but it's becoming a requirement as more and more marketers are getting into influencer marketing and getting into, more money is being spent. You know, people are getting wise to the fact that sometimes they have been just tossing around money because they haven't been looking at the quality and how to track that. And really the only way that can be tracked is through the engagement levels.
Yeah, focusing on those open rates, focusing on those click-through rates. I mean, I would rather have a small list with a 70% open rate than a list of 20,000 with a 10% open rate.
Ah, good point. Can you give us kind of a snapshot? So, I mean, a lot of the people that are going to be listening are going to probably go off and start their list. So can you set some just basic goals on what is a good open rate, just kind of industry standards from the ConvertKit side for specifically for bloggers?
Right. So anything between 25 and 40% open rate is like, that's actually pretty healthy. That means that you have a decently engaged list. And you also, that's kind of industry average. Anything over 40% is really great. Anything over 50 is amazing. Anything over 60 is like, you have a very engaged list. And then click-through rate is usually around between 2 to 7% click-through rate, depending on how, because again, it depends on how many links that you have in that email. That varies on how many links and things like that you actually have in the content. But as you're building your list, focus on, what problem can I solve for my audience? Like, what are their pain points? And I'm gonna bring it back to the audience, because if you're not building the right audience, you're not gonna have ideal engagement. You know, so if you can't expect to have high quality engagement if you aren't building the audience that you can actually serve best. And I think that's important too, especially if you blog about a lot of topics, which is great. Hey, you know, it's okay to talk about a lot of different things and create content on a lot of different topics, but focus on the main pain points of how can you best serve your audience. And then from that service, you're gonna get incredible engagement. It's gonna be organic. That's how good engagement happens, is because you're talking about things that are really true and authentic to your audience.
I gotta throw out some love to our guys out there listening right now, because they treat us good. They treat us good with our rates and their engagement levels. So yeah, you BA bloggers, specifically our certified ladies out there, we love you.
It's amazing. I've just, literally, as Alexis was talking, I logged in just to have a little sneak peek.
I knew you did.
One of our emails got 83% open rate with a 22% click rate.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
We must have pitched that one. That's a really good example of, you know, and that's to our main list as well. So I just want to blow our own trumpet a little bit. Kirby will probably edit that bit out, but I just quite like that. So, and I think the title of our next email will be make 440, was it 447% more money? I think that's Kirby, I think that's going to be the title of our next email blast.
I think it's important knowledge that
yeah. No, I do.
Across the community. And a few of our certified members actually do. I am on, when I do see an opportunity to sign up for mailing lists, I am on those mailing lists. And there's specifically one of the travel bloggers that we work with. Her emails are incredible. I quite recently signed up to her list, and she's consistent. That's the thing that I appreciate, I think, the most, is the consistency. And is that something that you see any kind of rates, or, you know, does it affect? What about the consistency, Alexis, from your side?
Yeah, I think consistency is really important. I mean, you, and this is another thing, too, is when someone's signing up for an email list, don't you want to know when that you're actually going to be communicated with? So it would be like, hey, sign up for my email. It would be like this. It would be like, hey, do you want to go to lunch? Sure. Great. And then you never set a time. Like people who put in their email address, they're like, they expect it to be communicated with. And you need to tell them when they're going to be communicated with and what they can expect from you. And I think that's what a lot of people don't do, is they don't set firm expectations with their audience. So then how can you expect good engagement if you aren't setting that expectation with your audience of when they can actually engage with you? So consistency is very, very important. And you'll see your engagement as far as your open rates, click-through rates, and opens, you'll see that increase over time as people get more and more, I guess, aware of when you're consistently putting out content.
And, you know, Claire will poke fun at me for this. What about the unsubscribe rate? Because I am, you know, I take things personal.
She's blessed.
I mean, unsubscribe is just like an unfollow button on Instagram. I mean, I don't.
Oh, I take that personal too. God forbid the day that Claire showed me the app that I could see who's unfollowing. Oh.
Oh, that's terrible. That's terrible. That breeds insecurity. Delete that app.
It's important to understand your audience. Right. And an unfollow as an unsubscribe, for my two penneth worth here, is just that they are looking for something different.
Right.
And if it's someone you're surprised left the list and someone you were actively targeting, then I guess you have to look at your content and what you're doing. But if it's someone you don't absolutely know, then I would say that, you know, they're looking for something different.
No, I feel like that's a really great point, Claire, because it's important to focus on growth as much as it is to see who is disengaging with your content and asking yourself the important questions of why. And was that person that left, were they my ideal customer, or were they my ideal, you know, subscriber? And if they were, ask yourself, okay, what's unaligned here? What's out of order? Okay, maybe it's because they weren't getting this. I'm not talking enough about how to grow the blog. Maybe I'm only talking to my, you know, specific, like maybe a different audience. So I think it's important to make sure, and this is great with tagging and segmenting inside of ConvertKit, is tag exactly who's who and who's interested. And when someone clicks a link in your email, add a tag to them saying, hey, they clicked out to read this article. They must be interested about that topic. So I'm going to tag them. That way you're able to actually track the data on who's who on your list, so that whenever you want to, you know, email just the people that are interested in mom blogs, you can target and email just them versus sending unrelevant content to an entire list.
I think that's really worth mentioning for people who aren't familiar with the platform, is that in my opinion, having used things like MailChimp, the tagging aspect on ConvertKit and then the segmenting is far more, it's very simple. And it's very immediate and it's easy to stay on top of, which for busy bloggers, I think they'll be very interested to hear that, because, you know, we don't all have time to go through our audiences and you know, filter them and segment them. So the tagging aspect is you know, touch of a button, grouping people off. And in fact, and you might find this interesting, you might not, is I started using ConvertKit for actually managing meetings. So it's not just, you know, it's not just about, you know, email courses and stories and things like that, but it was helping me understand for a monthly meeting I was organising, who was coming, who was not, who are strangers. So I had a tag called, you know, haven't seen them in a while. So I targeted my messages according to their pattern of whether they were coming to the meeting or engaging with my content online or not. So it definitely has many, many uses.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. So for anybody that's not familiar with tagging, tagging is just like it sounds. You're adding a tag to somebody. And really what that is when someone opts into a specific form on, let's say you built a opt-in incentive for a calendar template on how to schedule, you know, your life more effectively as a mom. So if someone opts into that form about, you know, basically it's time management, you could tag them on the back end of ConvertKit and say, okay, this person's interested in time management. So down the road, if you were to ever build a course on how to save time as a mom, you know exactly who's interested in time management. Or if someone clicks a link in one of your emails on, you know, a specific topic that's related to travel. Okay, great. These people are all interested in traveling. And then you can add a tag automatically inside a ConvertKit based on when people are purchasing products, when people are clicking links, when people are opting in for specific opt-in incentives that might have, you know, a specific topic. So it's actually, it's not as hard as it sounds, I promise you. And if you were to go to ConvertKit.com, and it's ConvertKit.com, and you watched a demo, you could actually see, in the demos, it's free, you can just watch a video of how it works, but you can actually see the aesthetic and visually the outline of what it looks like to actually tag a subscriber. It's very simple versus having them all on one specific list. It's kind of like it's kind of like you're trying to serve an audience of 15 specific people, but you send it to 300 people. And then you have lower open rates and lower engagement.
Now, this is a completely selfish question because I am a YouTuber. Do you guys see anybody on YouTube using ConvertKit? That is just out of complete curiosity.
Yeah, we do. We do, actually. I can't, off the top of my head, we actually just had a few bigger YouTubers sign up. But this is terrible. I am blanked on their names. But yeah, we do have YouTubers using us as well because especially YouTubers are understanding that, hey, I need to own my audience because I don't own my subscribers here on YouTube, especially bigger YouTubers.
The algorithm
as well as inside of a video, they're actually building opt-in incentives that they're pitching from their YouTube video. And then they have the link to sign up for that opt-in incentive in the description of that video. So then people are clicking that video to get the free download or checklist or ebook or course that they actually pitched from that YouTube video. So that's been something I've been seeing from YouTubers.
Yes. Oh, we need to, we skipped a completely, I was just so excited to get talking to Alexis that we completely skipped our main question that we usually start out with, the money question.
Yeah, I think a lot of content creators, entrepreneurs sometimes have a really negative view of money. And if you can just step back and think about all the things in this world that are better because of money, healthcare, having insurance, there are so many different things that are able to happen because of money. And so if you were to step back and think about all the things in your life specifically that you're grateful for that were because you had money. So roof over your head, air conditioning, a working car. Okay, so when you take it back to those simple things in life that you need, like shelter, clothing, food, okay? Money bought you those things. So what's so different about you earning that money for yourself versus clocking in each day and hoping that someone else can give you that money for, you know, from them, not something that you went out and did because it's something that you are passionate about. So I think there's a lot of talk about like, well, I'm super passionate about this thing and it feels wrong to want to earn money from something I'm passionate about. But I don't know. I always love the idea of entrepreneurship, being your own boss, solving problems for other people, being an advocate for people. And I think a lot of that comes with responsibility. And with that responsibility also comes earning an income. So I think it's a natural progression. You just have to kind of understand that mindset that money is not the enemy. Money can help solve a lot of problems, and it can you know, widen your lens of the world and allow you to serve people better.
And this is what you podcast mostly about, inspiring people to kind of go on their entrepreneurial path and to use their skill sets to become better and follow their passions, correct?
Right, yeah. So my personal podcast that's separate from ConvertKit, it's called The Laptop Lifestyle. And it's a podcast for entrepreneurs, millennials on the go, and really just people who are earning an income or wanting to earn an income from their laptop and kind of live that virtual type lifestyle. So I interview a lot of successful online entrepreneurs, bloggers, course creators, I mean, pretty much anything, honestly, jewelry designers who are, you know, earning all of their income from their online store. So it's a wide variety, but it's all centered around how to earn an income online from their laptop.
And one of the questions, so I'm interested because one of the questions we always ask are the people that we bring on to the show. And this is going to be a really interesting perspective from you, since you are so passionate about this kind of lifestyle and inspiring other people and interviewing them to find out how they got there. What was your relationship like with money that got you to this point?
Yeah, that's a great question. So money growing up was both my parents were entrepreneurs. So I saw the ebb and flow of bad investments and losing money to gaining a lot of money and hitting strides and hitting success. So I've seen that from my parents, and I've seen the scarcity mindset around money and also the abundance of money. So I've seen both sides of it. Personally, for me, I've never wanted to wait for someone to tell me I was ready to earn something. Never wanted to wait for someone to tell me I was ready to do something, had enough experience, had enough expertise, or that I was able to earn X amount of money. So I just started doing things on my own since I was 17. I wrote my first book. In college, I owned a women's clothing line and ran that for 3 years and was able to make side income there. You know, making money is a skill. It is not something that I think, you know, some people are born with it, with this skill, or I don't think people are born with, you know, more money making skills than other. I think it's just something that you learn over time. And so for me, it was, I don't ever want to have a scarcity mindset around enjoying life and traveling and living the kind of life I wanted. So I always did things on the side that could subsidize those travels or subsidize those other things. So that's kind of where I stand from it specifically.
That's awesome, man. That you are a lady after my own heart, let me tell you.
As I was listening to her, I kept thinking about you, Kirby. Sounds very similar.
Yeah, been through lots over the years. So it's always interesting being able to talk to people and say like, oh, I've done this, oh, I've done this, oh, I've done that. How old are you?
I'm 24.
No, I'm saying that's probably the conversation that you had. Right, where right. Like, you'll be like, oh yeah, I did this and I've been there. Oh, and I had this. And then people are looking and be like, how old are you?
That's a goal of mine. I never want people to ever think that – I don't ever want people to question my age. And that's a big thing too for any of you younger bloggers, younger influencers, or maybe you have a full-time job that you love and you have a side hustle. I have a full-time job that I love, and it's ConvertKit. But I also have a side hustle where I can, you know, use my creative talents as podcasting and content creation for brands. That's something I love. So there's a topic there too of, you know, you don't always have to go full-time to earn a living, a full-time living. Maybe you just want to subsidize, you know, your travel fund, or maybe it starts out as a passion and it becomes profitable, and then in a year you decide to take it full-time. I think there's a lot of pressure around going full-time before you're ready, or if you have an entrepreneurial endeavor, you have to jump right into full-time. And that's a whole other topic. But yeah, that's kind of my two cents on that.
I think we've given our audience a lot to think about here. Especially for those that aren't focusing, maybe have email lists and they're not focusing on it. There's definitely a lot of food for thought. And what we tend to do, what we do every time, is we challenge our listeners to a little challenge. And then we put these challenges on our ConvertKit communications as well. And so... I don't really want to put you on the spot here, Alexis, but I think it'd be great if you wanted to challenge our listeners today that perhaps aren't leveraging their email lists in the way they are, or perhaps they even started. What could they do tomorrow? What could they do? What would we want them to start? Where do they start?
Step one, sign up for ConvertKit. I'm kidding. Whether you're using ConvertKit, MailChimp, or some other type of email software provider, I would focus on building your first opt-in incentive. Or if you're the one you have right now is not converting and no one's signing up for it, that means that your audience probably isn't interested in what you created. So take a step back, ask yourself, what questions are my audience asking me most often? What kind of products and services could I build out of those questions and frustrations? So a challenge for you would be to write down the 5 questions that you get asked most on a daily or weekly basis. And then from those 5 questions that you get asked on a consistent basis, take one of them and build an opt-in incentive around it. And then start brainstorming on how you can take the other 4 or the one that you created opt-in incentive around and maybe build a product out of it, or maybe build some content around it, or maybe write an ebook. Start brainstorming how you can take those questions that you're consistently getting from your audience and turn them into solutions.
That's amazing. Thank you so much. We will have, as usual for our listeners, all the links to ConvertKit and anything that we've talked about, how you can connect with us on social, and the challenge in the podcast. And it just leaves me and Kirby to thank you so much, Alexis, for coming on the podcast and talking to our listeners and our community.
This has been awesome. Thank you so much, Alexis.
Yeah, of course. It's been an honor to spend some time with you women. And I just want to speak some life into you guys. I love what you guys are doing. I love that you're focusing on helping other bloggers and companies understand the blogging world. You know, it takes people like you to educate and really inspire people to take action and seek out, you know, their creative passions in blogging. And I love that. I feel honored that ConvertKit is a part of your journey. And I'm excited to be here, and I hope that y'all got some really great value from today's episode.
Hi guys, Kirby here. I hope you loved this episode as much as we enjoyed making it and enjoyed learning all the good stuff from Alexis. I have some great news. ConvertKit is actually doing something really special for our listeners and our blogging community. They have offered you guys a month free trial, which they normally never do. So this is like a really big deal. So jump up on... go to the show notes on blogauthentic.com, and below the episode you will find the URL to click through and try out ConvertKit. I hope you enjoy it as much as we do, and I hope you guys are having a wonderful summer, beginning of summer, warm days, and we'll see you soon.